Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi, let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the show, Sam Crowley, March 31st. It's the end of the first quarter of 2015, and what have you done? What have you done? Give me a sense of it, baby. What's the biggest thing, event, personally, professionally, business, whatever, that you've done in the first 3 months of this year? Is it something that you thought, wow, man, I look back, that's amazing. I never thought I could do that in just 90 days. Maybe it happened January 2nd. And you're still flying high. Maybe it happened yesterday. You know, you break your year into quarters like that. You take a big old chart and you cut it into four slices. And this is the first slice. It's gone. You can't get it back. That's the funny thing about life, you know. You say, oh, you know, I meant to do. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what you meant to do. You know what we care about? What did you do? That's how you keep score. That's how you keep score in business and what a crazy day. What a crazy day today it's already been. We took our baby Susan. You want to talk about repetition decreases resistance. That's the theme for today. I look back, January 1st, we were still visiting our baby. Heck, she hadn't even moved down to the transitional care unit yet at Cincinnati Children's. I mean, I just look at our baby's journey by just sections, you know. She had her trach December 12th and spent a month in the NICU and then another month in the transitional care unit, a couple months. It's just wild, man. Now it's already going to be April 1st. What are you kidding me? So we left the house today, and when you leave the house with a trach baby on a ventilator, an oxygen machine, you don't just like, oh, let's go, Susan. Let's go to your first pediatrician appointment. This is Dr. John Robinson here in Mason, Ohio. He was the pediatrician for our oldest and our other two kids. All three of our daughters have gone through Dr. Robinson. He's a treasure. He's an absolute treasure. You know, he's old school, so he's probably been a doctor 30, heck, maybe 40 years. He's got an amazing personality and an amazing love for what he does. You talk about every day being Saturday in a profession. You know, I talk about it all the time when I say when you go to a restaurant and the waiter, the waitress, you just know they love what they do. I use the example, and it's just always the example I use when I go out to dinner. When I ask the waiter, is the soup any good? And I don't even really care. It's not like I would know. I'm not a soup connoisseur. But I just thought that one night, my wife and I were out on a date. This was like 10 years ago. And it was a young kid, but he seemed excited. And I didn't know if he was excited just because he didn't know any better. Like, it's your first day on the job. You don't even know the menu. And you don't even know why you should be excited. Or did he really love what he did? So we went out to dinner, and it was great. It was like one of the first times we had a babysitter. And that was even better, not having the kids tugging at you. Mom, Dad. So I said, hey, how's the soup? And I don't even remember what the soup was, but he looked at me and he said, let me tell you something about the soup tonight. The chef is it's an amazing concoction, what he put together. It's going to make your palate dance. Let me say that again. He said the soup was going to make my palate dance. Now, I didn't even know what the soup was. I don't remember what it was. I don't even know where my palate is, okay? All I know is I wanted that baby to dance, okay? So I said, give me a bowl, not even a cup. He goes, you sure you don't want to? I said, no, man. If my palate's going to dance with a cup of soup, let me tell you something, sunshine. We're at Studio 54, and it's 1975 if I get that bowl of soup. We're dancing with the leisure suit and the clogs and the bell bottoms on with this soup. Let me tell you. I don't even know. He could have brought me mud from outside, and I was already programmed to have my palate dance. So, and it did. My palate danced. I don't think I've had my palate dance since then. But the whole point of telling you that story, that's a guy that loved what he did. He was a waiter, for crying out loud. Heck, he might have been a college graduate just kind of filling in time until he got his profession figured out. I don't know. Maybe he's still a waiter. I have no idea. I've gone back to that restaurant. I haven't seen him there. Maybe he's gone on to a better restaurant. I don't know, but I'd hire that kid in a New York minute. And Dr. Robinson's the same way, but he just happens to be treating children for the last 40 years. And we brought Susan there today. So let me give you an idea. We had a 9 a.m. appointment. And when you have a child that really has a lot of needy right now, Susan's on a ventilator, oxygen tank. I brought one oxygen tank, two backup tanks, portable ventilator, a pulse ox machine that measures her heart rate and her saturation levels in her blood. We've got the emergency bag in case she needs to be resuscitated. We've got the suction machine. We've got to suction or trach out the secretions. Of course, we've got a stroller that's got a car seat. She's got tubes everywhere, ventilator going from her throat. I mean, all over. You can imagine, right? It's like seriously packing your first college apartment when you're moving in. It was that much stuff just to go to the doctor. But we made it happen, man. And it was clunky and wonky the first time today. You know, it was there was yelling involved between my wife and I trying to get things done the right way. But it was just, you know, we got it done. That's the bottom line. And it was our first time, and it was clunky getting there. And then when we left, we stopped at Dunkin' Donuts on the way home. Of course we did, right? Had to go to Dunkin', get a cup of coffee. Brought the kids home some donuts, and it wasn't as clunky getting her back out of the car coming in the house, and now she's laying in her crib upstairs, perfectly content. She threw up twice while she was there, basically a glorified spit up with a lot of milk that went all over her outfit. We just dealt with it. You know why? Because I know, and my wife is learning this as well, I know this only because it's a business principle that I live by, is that repetition decreases resistance. Do you want to get really good on doing something? Let's say you wanted to teach somebody or sell your own SEO business, or you wanted to teach people how to cook or do video editing or speaking or coaching or anything like that. The first thing you got to do is learn what you want to do and then do it. And then teach somebody else how to do it. Once you do those three things, you're going to be an expert in it. Now, if you don't even know how to do it right now, it doesn't matter, man. And I'm not saying you got to fake it till you make it, but I will tell you this. Stay one trick ahead of the dog. That's the title of a podcast from over a year ago. Stay one trick ahead of the dog. How do you train a dog? You learn the trick and then you teach him, because you're one trick ahead of that dog. Give him a biscuit and he figures it out. You know, it's going to take him a while. You want to train an audience how to learn what it is that you do? You don't even need to know how to do it right now. Go learn how to do one step of it and stay. There's a billion people right now that don't even know how to do it. Whatever that is to you, okay? And then once you do it over and over and over again, you get this really huge sense of comfort, you know? Like when you go to the gym and you graduate to a new weight level, or maybe you stay on the treadmill for 10 minutes longer, maybe you increase the incline a couple notches on the treadmill, whatever that means, it feels difficult at first, doesn't it? It feels like you're going to pass out on the treadmill or rip a muscle in half when you're lifting a weight over your head, but it doesn't happen. You know why? Because worry is a down payment on a problem that most likely never will happen. So many people want you to worry about stuff. You want to share your dreams with them, and you tell them all these great places you're going. They're like, yeah, but, okay, I don't want you to get too excited. No, the hell with that. I am going to get too excited. Matter of fact, I'm going to drive my car off the excitement cliff, okay? And I'm going to crash it. That's how excited I am. I want to live with excitement. What do you want me to live with, worry? If I gave you two choices, all right, listen to this podcast, and when you're done listening to this podcast, I want you to go after everything you do today. I don't care if it's exercise, if you're in a job, sitting in a cubicle, you run a business, you're online working, whatever it is that you're doing, I want you to embrace every single aspect of today with excitement. And I told you the results were going to be absolutely off the hook amazing, because they will be, just because they will be. You know why? Because nobody else is going to approach anything nearly at that level today, and your competitors are just going to fall by the wayside. Imagine if you did that every day. You would make every day Saturday. Or I would tell you, before you do anything today, make sure you think about it, worry a lot. All right, think about every negative outcome, every bad scenario that could possibly happen that's resulted. You want to buy a piece of property in real estate? Well, think about this. Tenants are going to kick holes in walls. They're going to move out. The taxes are going to get behind. Water's going to get shut off. And all of that stuff is going to happen before you even think about even investing, even going to a mortgage company. They're going to pull your credit. It's going to show up as an inquiry, lower your credit score 5 points. Then you're going to get declined. They're going to want 20% down. The owner isn't going to hold any money for you, hold it back. So you can't do an 80-20 mortgage, all this stuff. Think about all the negative stuff. Or you can approach it with excitement. Go find the money. Go find a lender. Go right to the altar with a lender and say, I want everything in line before you pull my credit score. So when we do pull it, I already know what it is. You should be monitoring your credit every day, by the way. I've subscribed to freecreditreport.com every day for 10 years, because as soon as I went bankrupt and had a 500 credit score, I wanted to see how fast. Life's a game. Life's a game. It just is. It's a game. I just play the game. You want to play with me? It's great. I play at a high level, but let's play a game. It's called life. Have fun. My credit score was at 500 in 2005, October 11th, filed bankruptcy. I mean, if you had a paper route, your credit score was better than mine. So I played the game. Subscribe to freecreditreport.com. You can, that's Experience. You can subscribe to Equifax, TransUnion. It doesn't matter. All right. And I played a game. How fast can we get Sammy Boy's credit score to 720? Didn't happen overnight. I got to 600 pretty quick, though. Bought a $52,000 Denali in 2009, 0% financing from the Buick dealer here, Borcherding, in 2009. And I'm not saying that to impress you because I drove a 2001 Chevy Venture that was paid off in 2005. So I had 4 years longer on that with no car payment. So I was a good steward of money, and I kept the Venture all the way. We moved to Springville, New York in 2010. I gave it to the Goodwill in 2012. Gave them our Venture, you know, drove that baby 110,000 miles on it. But my point is I get a 50-some thousand dollar loan, and my bankruptcy was still on my credit report. Didn't come off till 2012. It stays on. Chapter 13 stays on for 7 years. That's the bankruptcy you file when you pay a percentage back of the total amount that you owe. So my whole point in all this is repetition decreases resistance. I wanted to learn how to get my credit score up. Tried a few things, bought some prepaid credit cards where they, you know, you got to always have cash in the card, $250, $300, and, you know, they manage you like you're a four-year-old, which is fine. You just played a game. You want to play a game? It's called life. It's awesome. We played a game today. We took our daughter to the pediatrician for the very first time. The game was fun. It wasn't without some challenges. It wasn't without some, there was yelling involved. Look, man, that's just life, man. You don't take any of that stuff personally. My wife and I high-fived, as a matter of fact, in the elevator after the doctor appointment. Said, hey, we did it. We did it. That's another hurdle crossed. I'm not saying tomorrow's going to be perfect. I don't need perfect. I just need a chance. I don't care if tomorrow's going to be perfect. All I want you to tell me is I'm going to wake up because then I get a chance to do something exciting. I want to make tomorrow exciting. Do you want to make tomorrow exciting? Do you want to stop listening to this show when we're done in a few minutes here and go embrace everything from your lunch to your dinner to your workout to your TV shows to your book you're going to read to the blog post you're going to write to the podcast you're going to create to the training you're going to do? Go after it with just so much excitement. Smile like you ate a banana sideways, man. Quit moping around like most of these people out there expecting the worst to happen. Prepare for the worst, okay? But expect the best. Prepare for the worst. Expect the best. You always got to be prepared. But you don't sit around living in fear and worry. It's a waste of time. So today, the lesson it taught me was repetition. We're going to do it again. We're going to make our daughter portable. We got a pulmonary appointment, I think, at Children's Hospital, maybe in 10 days or so. Maybe we'll take her to church this weekend. I don't know. Take her to the park. The kids are on spring break. It's supposed to be 70 degrees out this week. I don't know, man. I'm just going to go experience life with my daughter. I'm not going to sit around staring at her, waiting for her to stop breathing. I'm going to take her out and let her experience life and show her. This is how mom and dad live life. Oh, by the way, one other thing. Let's end the show on this note. If you have kids, they're watching you. If you're moping and boping and swearing and looking at the bills and talking about too much month at the end of the money and you're saying we're broke and we don't know how we're going to run a budget and all that, your kids are listening, all right? And that's how they're going to raise their kids, and that's how they're going to act for the rest of their life. You walk in faith, you step up on your dream, and you stand out. You realize you're not always going to hit a home run, but sometimes you are going to hit it flush, and it's going to feel amazing, and that's going to keep you going until the next one. And you live with a positive mindset, expecting the best. Your kids are going to follow suit. I mean, heck, everybody around you is going to follow suit. And the people that don't want to be in your inner circle, they don't want to run with you because that's how you roll. You expect greatness to happen. That's even better. They go away. They don't want to be around you. My God, you're like kryptonite to them. Stay away. All that positive crap. We need that every day, Saturday. Who do you think you are? Well, that's a good segue into the end of the show. My name's Sam Crowley. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.